This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.
97 Gold presents Your Money with Fay Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Fay Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Good morning, Faye. How are you?
Well, I'm wonderful. Now, I can't say that it's the best Saturday I ever had, like I usually say, because it's a little chilly.
A little chilly? Goodness gracious. Wow. We got spoiled around Christmas time where it was, you know, so nice and sunny and warm, and then now it's like, bam, we got hit with winter again.
We have winter everywhere. Texas has turned to a deep freeze again.
Yes. God,
it's so cold that people don't even want to go outside.
Yeah. I mean, it is winter, so I mean, it's supposed to be this way, but the good news is we've already passed the winter solstice, so the days are starting to get a little bit longer now. So there's a little bit less dark, not a lot per day, but we're at least on the right path.
That is not going to help. That is not going to help. It's so cold.
That is not going to help. That's true. I was trying to find the bright side, but you got a point.
I mean, there is no bright side to this cold weather.
No.
Even puppies do not want to go outside. Can you imagine? You tell them they have to go outside, and they go, no way, we're not going outside.
Puppies don't want to go outside.
No.
Yeah, stay inside and just get warm and cozy. Sit by the fireplace, maybe read a book, watch a movie, have some hot cocoa, something.
That's exactly right. And most people have forgot how to make hot cocoa.
Yeah.
That's a shame.
Unless it comes in a little instant pouch. You forgot how to put it on the stove and mix it all up with the actual cocoa powder and stir it with a spoon. Oh.
Yes, which is really great.
Yes.
Man, I just can't imagine that people, you know, people are learning, have lost the art of so many things. I'm shocked every day.
Oh, yeah.
You know, things we used to know how to do, they can't do that anymore. It has to all be done for them. They have to buy it in a package.
Yeah, oh, yeah. In fact, the faster the package, the better. If you can microwave it, it's a win-win.
Yep. And have you ever noticed everything you buy frozen now, on the back it says, either oven or microwave.
Yep, yep.
And you know which way those women are going to go, don't you?
Usually the microwave. It's faster.
It's faster. Have you read Steve and Kathy Ducey's new cookbook?
No, I have not.
You need to get that. It is hilarious.
Okay, I'll put that on my list.
Put that on your list, the Happy Cookbook. My gosh, it is funny.
Well, boy, there's nothing like, you know, when you can get some people around and y'all cook as a family or even just friends. You know, you get together, you cook something special, it tastes better, you have that wonderful experience of the cooking. But, you know, I mean, we're all so busy. It's like, I understand a lot of people got to, you know, it's either a drive-thru or something you can throw in the microwave just because people don't have time.
And that's such a shame, you know.
Yeah.
Steve Ducey talked about in his new cookbook the fact that living in Kansas, growing up there as a little boy, he remembered that his mom, once a week, made that pot roast with the onion soup mixture and the mushroom soup over it.
Oh.
So once his wife learned to cook after they were married, every year on his birthday, she makes that pot roast.
Oh, wow.
And he said it takes him back to Kansas. It takes him back to being a little boy and his mother cooking that roast.
I bet that's
And I think
amazing.
Everybody has that. Coming in as a child to the house and smelling this wonderful food your mother's preparing.
Oh, yeah. I know we used to go over to my grandmother's house when I was a kid on Sunday, and everybody would be over there. You know, people just kind of wander in. They just walk in, bust in. You know, usually somebody would be hollering about something, but there was always, like, chicken and dumplings or something on the stove. You just help yourself, grab some peas off the stove, put them in a bowl, sit around, eat wherever you want to, stay as long as you want to, take a nap, have some more, and then go home. It was really great.
And see, that you still remember that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, going to grandma's house, and the grandmas, have you ever known a grandmother that couldn't cook?
No, I don't think that's...
No, grandmothers were known for their specialties and the things they could cook, and then all the churches, usually, back in the 50s and 60s, would put out a cookbook.
Yeah.
And it'd have every grandmother, every mother's recipes in it.
Yeah. Well, we were talking about that the other day over the holidays. It's like, you know, our daughter doesn't really have those recipes, whereas, you know, my wife and her sister, they've got recipes from her grandparents who came right over, you know, from like Ireland and England. And so they've got those recipes on those old faded cards that were handed down. And so sometimes we'll still cook them. But the next generation, they're not asking for them. So it kind of seems to die out here.
It will, because the next generation is all about microwave or ordering. They call the restaurants and order their food.
Yeah.
That's the way it is.
And now you have, like, Grubhub that'll bring it to you.
Yeah, I mean, now that they've gone the extra mile, have that delivered to the house, please. But one of my granddaughters years ago, I was going to be late coming home, and she was at my house, and I said, would you take the roast out, and, you know, here's how you do it. It's in the refrigerator. Take it out, and you know, just set it in the oven for me, and then I'll be home right after that. I got home. This girl was so dumb, she put it in there, wrappings and all.
Oh, no.
Yeah, just laid it in there, wrapped up, and I go, oh, my gosh, never ask a child that has never been around food to do anything. They don't know anything about it.
Yeah, you got to start showing them early these days. Oh,
that's right.
Boy.
And most of them don't want to learn.
They
want to learn the number of the nearest restaurant.
Yeah. Exactly. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. What is your phone number, Faye?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage.
Now, this is all about growing your money so you can retire happy, wealthy, and early. And this being the last weekend of 2018, when you look ahead to the projected forecast maybe for 2019, what does the situation look like? And I'm not talking about the economy in general. I'm talking about, you know, for policies, for opportunities. What do you seek in the coming year?
Well, the way I look at it, I think we'll have more policies next year. We won't be so short of policies. I think we'll have more, and I think that it'll be a good year. I think it's going to be better than we had this last year because, you know, the first 3 or 4 months, we were having a terrible time getting policies and bidding them. And you know, then the middle to the end of the year, we start getting all these policies, and then we had, you know, $8 million in maturities right here at the end of the year.
Wow, that's incredible.
It was incredible. So a lot of people made money right here at the end of the year, besides those that had made money during the year. So I think it'll be a better year. I would hate to have been in the stock market this year. You know, I talk about that a lot. You know, I'm thankful I haven't been in it for several years. But, you know, the S&P is down for the month, 9.8%.
Wow.
The Dow has lost 9.4%.
Wow.
So anything they had made in the year, you can forget about it. You know, it's done. And, of course, the shock to everybody's system with it falling like it has in the last 2 weeks. I mean, that was some huge losses.
Oh, yeah.
And
these swings seem to be so extreme. I mean, this is a very abnormal behavior for the economy. You know, there's massive losses, and then there's record gains, and then record losses and record gains. It seems to be the extremes are getting further and further apart.
Well, they say this was the worst Christmas Eve since 2009. And everything they had made, you know, it's already went down the tube. And it went up, you know, one day this week, and everybody thought they'd recover, but it went back down again.
Yeah.
So, and it's the economy, it's the uncertainty. You know, they don't know what's going to happen. And so a lot of investors have taken billions out of the stock market in the last month.
Wow.
And so, you know, we just don't know what's going to happen. And the Federal Reserve, you know, monetary policy, they think they may have made mistakes. And, of course, on the trade front, it's China. And the clock's ticking on whether we're going to have a tariff on China or whether, you know, whether they're going to reach an agreement. So nobody knows all these things. So it makes the market very erratic and very uncertain. And a person could end up with, you know, some large losses. That's all there is to
and
it.
And then obviously now the other thing that's going on right now is the government shutdown, which has got to be affecting at least, you know, consumers' confidence as we go further and further, because now we're going to be into next year before this is probably, you know, worked out. And so you'd have to think that consumer confidence is going to play a role in some of these things. And you put all these things together, when you look at the large picture, do you think, and I know we kind of hinted at this the last several weeks, but do you think that people in the stock market who are 100% investing in Wall Street, do you think that they should legitimately be concerned and start looking for other investment opportunities?
Well, I would be. I wouldn't want 100% in the stock market, I can tell you. Think about it this way. Our investments have risk, but not as big a risk as stocks, mm-hmm. okay? And it can't go down. Your investment never goes down. It can go over. It may not come in on time. That can happen to you. But other than that, you're going to get your principal back. You know your principal's not going to go down. Like if it was in the stock market, you don't know how much you're going to get back. You don't know if you're going to get all of your principal or part of your principal. And with us, we know you're going to get all your principal back. That's a given because it's in a life insurance policy. We know you're going to get your interest back. If your contract calls for 18% interest, that's what you'll get. If it calls for 24%, that's what you're going to get. And the only way that you could get less is if it goes over and you have to pay some premiums, which could happen. But usually, you know, you're going to have a percent that'll come in early, which we've had a lot of them early this year. We've had some that came in on time. And then there's always some that will go over, and because we can't control that. You know, the doctors that give us the opinions on these, sometimes they're wrong. Sometimes they're wrong and it comes in a lot earlier than what they think. Because with cancer, you can't always tell.
Mm-hmm.
Then sometimes it comes in within a month or 3 weeks of what we think, and then sometimes it goes over. So, you know, there is some uncertainty. But it's not the same uncertainty you have in the stock market.
Yeah, it's not like
it's
you're
a different.
You're there's no worries in a life life insurance policy. No worries about you know, losses, and then just, you know, hoping and praying for some kind of big rally to recover. You don't have to worry about any of that.
No, and so if it goes down on a Monday, you've lost money. But with us, it's not going to go down on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
So, a life insurance policy. When that person passes away, the insurance company is going to send a check for the face amount. Now, they're not going to discount it. They're not going to say, we're not going to give you all it. The insurance company will send a check to the bank, and then the bank distributes the money to our customers.
The value never goes down.
No, the value will not ever go down with a life insurance policy. So I think that's a lot safer that right now than being in the stock market, because whatever you made 6 months ago, you're not going to have it now.
Yeah.
I don't know how you're going to get that back up with the way things are going, you know, up and down.
And with the way things are going up and down, you know, one of the wonderful things about a life settlement is that nothing will affect it. So, you know, if the stock market does go down, if something, you know, happens, you know, like you were mentioning before with tariffs, if something happens with a shutdown, if, you know, some war breaks out in some country, someplace, if China's economy crashes, nothing on earth can affect a life insurance policy. It just doesn't happen. It's completely self-contained.
That's right. And you know to start with what you're going to make. You know what you're going to get back. And when you're in the stock market, the risk is you don't know what you're going to get back. You're hoping for a good return, and sometimes it happens. And then, like in 2000 and all these other years, when the stock market has, you know, hit a brick wall, it has went down, and people did not get back what they thought they were going to get. And yet they had been in it all that time, but they didn't get the return they had hoped for. They didn't even get all their principal back.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we don't know what's going to happen. It's a bigger risk than anything I know of.
You know, we used to focus a lot more about, you know, the immediate time period before somebody retires, and how, you know, somebody who's invested in the stock market, you know, may have been investing for years and years and years, and then, you know, maybe a couple of months or even a couple of years before they retire, what would happen if Wall Street, you know, had a big downturn and all of a sudden they lost everything? All those years of investing are gone. And there's not that opportunity. You just don't have the time to recover from that. But I think from what it sounds like, it's almost like we have to worry about a lot longer than just the immediate future before you retire. You have to really start looking longer term backwards. You have to start looking, you know, further back, because if something does happen, and say somebody's 10 years out, if somebody's 15 years out, legitimately, the way the market has been behaving lately, somebody could, in theory, lose 10, 15 years worth of investing on Wall Street overnight, and they may not get it back in time. Even with that much time till retirement, it literally, that seems like it should be a concern.
Well, it is a concern, I think. I think people were just kind of lulled into thinking everything would always be going up, because it went up so much in the last year. But when it goes up, you know, anything can stop that going up. And then you lose all that, and then it takes 7 or 8 years to recover all your principal, much less the interest on the principal. You know, the last downturn in 2008, remember what happened? It took 6 to 7 years. Some of them 8 years to get all their money back.
Yeah.
If they'd had to retire during that time, they wouldn't have had enough money to retire.
Exactly. The whole plan is gone. And all of a sudden, when you think you're out, you know, out of the workforce, and you're enjoying your life, you're traveling, you're doing all these things, instead, you're now finding yourself having to go to work, and that has got to play not only a toll on your finances, but also the psychology of it, too. I mean, it has to be a little bit demotivating.
I think so, and people have to work longer and harder, and the wife has to stay at work, the husband has to still work in order to pull it back. And, you know, nothing is guaranteed in life. You know, we know that. And when you invest in the stock market, we know it's not guaranteed. They tell you right up front, you know, this investment is not guaranteed. And if you lose, we're not responsible. So, you know, our deal is, yes, it can go over. Anything can happen. But your principal is always guaranteed. And you're going to get that principal back. You're going to get the interest back, because the life insurance company is going to pay you. Not me, but the life insurance company that you have your money in. You've got your money in a life insurance policy, which I think is a safer investment. And if you're diversified, if you've got enough policies, you know, and you can go and look at any time at our website at AmericanFinancialMidland.com, and it shows you what everybody's made the last 2 or 3 years.
And those are real numbers. Those are real
people.
These
are the real things. This is the real policies. It's got the people's initials on it if you want to look it up. It tells you what they made and how much they made. And I think maybe we're up to date. Now, the other day when I talked to the office, we were not up to date. The last 4 or 5 policies had not been posted. Mm-hmm. I think they have been posted now. I hope so. So if they haven't, they'll be posted shortly. And that shows you what everybody's made.
And these are not just guesstimates. These are not averages. They're not, you know, well, we think that. No, these are real. And these are, they're very, I guess they're I'm trying to think of a way to say it. It's realistic. It's realistic to think that, hey, I see how much money these people have already made, and these are long-term trends. I mean, these metrics are over, you know, a long time span. So it's not like you can look at them and say, well, that was a one-time thing, that guy got lucky. No, these are averages. These are real numbers that people have made, and people can expect to make these types of things. Not on every policy, because obviously, you know, some go over, some go, you know, some come in early. So, you know, things can change a little bit there. But for the most part, people can look at these and say, yeah, this is a really solid, sound, wise investment.
And, you know, I talked to one customer this last week for end of the year, and she said to me that she had made $90,000 this year. So that's not anything to sneeze at.
No, that's not bad for 1 year.
That is profit.
Yeah.
So, and I don't know. I'd have to go back and look at what everybody made this year. But I know an awful lot of people made a lot of money with us.
Yeah.
And I know we've still got those old policies. The people that are in those old policies have not made a dime yet. But we know that they've got to, even though, you know, we were sold a pig and a poke, it's been a long, long deal, they've got to pass away. They have got to mature. You know, they're in their 90s. And surely they're not out gardening. I mean, you know, it's been a long slug on those three policies.
Yeah.
You know? And we think all the time, how did this happen to us? How did we get those old policies? Well, it'll never happen again. As you know, we do not buy seniors' policies. It doesn't matter what the story is. We're not doing it because they're not sick. They're just old, bless their hearts.
Yeah.
And we don't want any part of that. And our cutoff date is 74. We'll buy your policy up to 74 age if you've got cancer, but we're not buying anything over that.
So the way this works is you go and you bid on these policies, and they're, like you said, they're specific policies for people who have been diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. You don't bid on elderly people's policies anymore. You're very specific about the types of policies you even bid on. You get a number of policies that become available that you just completely bypass. You don't even bid on them because they're not right.
That's exactly right.
And so,
When we bid on policies, we never know for sure whether we're going to get those policies. But we bid policies every day of the week. And we're looking at the health on them. We're looking at what kind of cancer it is. We're looking at how long they've had that cancer. We're looking to see if it's the deadliest of cancers, you know, what kind is it? And all these maturities that we've had this month, you know, we're studying all those to see, you know, how soon we looked at those numbers, and if it came true like we thought it would, you know, if everything worked, the kind of cancer it was, if they said it was a year, you know, if it was 6 months, whatever it was, we go back and we recap all that, where the next time we'll know that we were right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you study the numbers.
We study it, and we study the kind of cancer. I study it all the time. You know, are we on track? Are we right? Have we missed something? And, you know, Fasano is the best. And they're very, very conservative. If Fasano says they're going to live 18 months, I figure it's 9 months.
And Fasano is?
They are the company out of Washington, D.C. that knows cancer the best. And then we've got 21st Services. 21st Services has been doing it a long time. And they were having trouble about 2 years ago getting it right. And everybody complained about it, and they shut down for 30 days and redid everything, their computer models. They redid all that to get it right. And so they're more accurate now because we study which person is the most accurate, whether it's Fasano, AVS, or 21st Services. So we're looking at that all the time to see how it's working.
So it's really great that not only on your end, but also on these other companies that do these LEs, they're looking at these, and they're always going back, and they're making sure, yes, we have the right formula. Yes, we're looking at the right thing. Yes, the factors that we had you know, put a lot of emphasis in the past, yes, those are still good. It's nice to know that there's always that checks and balances coming on from not only yourself, but also these companies as well. And the other thing that's really great about all this is that when you have policies that are over $1 million, you get two data points.
Opinions, yes. You need two opinions. If it's that much money, we want two opinions. We want them to be close together. If they're not, we're not going to buy the policy. And this happens lots of times. We'll get one that says it's 24 months. The other one might say it's 40. Then there's something wrong.
Yeah.
And so we'll pass on it.
So that'll...
Because one should be 24, one should be maybe 30. They should be within 6 months of each other. And most of the time they are. But anytime they're not, we say, we better pass, there's something wrong.
So if those red flags start going up, you just completely bypass. You don't try to figure it out, or you just
it's too risky. Yes. And anytime somebody says, well, we don't know where that second LE is, we say, well, we'll hold the bid till you find it, because we're not bidding it without two.
Yeah.
So, and it has to be a current one. It can't be an LE that's more than a year old.
So it's a super well-informed type of investment.
I think so, because we're doing all the paperwork for them. We're doing all the risk factors up front. We're figuring all that out. And as I said, we're right about 90% of the time. There's going to be some we're wrong on. We're going to be some the doctors are wrong on. But overall, it appears that we're right on track, to get them their money, to make a profit, to get them through retiring, to get them ready to retire. So that's what we work on every day.
So for those who are new to the concept and they're intrigued with the whole thing and how much information is available about each policy and in each investment, what we're talking about is life insurance policies. And basically how this works is, you bid on these policies for people who have been diagnosed with stage four cancer, because a lot of times, somebody who does face this type of diagnosis, it's very expensive to treat stage four cancer. And so the fastest way for them to get a large sum of money quickly is to go ahead and sell their life insurance policy. And that's where you come in. So this way, the policyholder gets the money that they need quickly. They can go ahead and begin treatments and do what they need to do to try to fight it. On the other hand, now you've got this policy and it becomes an investment opportunity. So how does this work? How does it go from being a policy that you buy to being an opportunity for people to grow their wealth?
Well, when we buy it, we're buying it with certain people in mind every time. We're saying, okay, this $1 million policy here, we think these people would be good in it. Or if it's a $250,000 policy, there may be somebody else we want to put in it. So we're thinking of different clients every time we bid. We're thinking this will be good for these. We know these people like to invest in this type of policy. I've got some people that want really short, and I've got some that are like me, 24 to 30 months. That's my favorite guy, because it seems like if it's 30 months, it comes in early.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, when they say 30 months, it doesn't necessarily mean 30 months.
Sometimes it'll mean actually 24.
Yeah, or like I've had three or four this year that came in 12 and 15 months rather than 30. So the cancer had spread a lot more. It was a lot worse than everybody thought.
And so basically, and I know this is really kind of an oversimplification of the process, but it really is pretty legitimate, pretty realistic picture we're painting here, is that you have the policy, people invest in their share of the policy, like somebody may have, and I'm just throwing out something here at random, but somebody may have 10% in $1 million policy, another person may have 10%, and so when the policy matures, the life insurance company pays out that policy, but since you bought it, you own it, now it becomes, instead of the money going to the original policyholder, it goes to the people who are investing.
That's exactly right. They own it. It goes to them. The check is made out to the bank for safety, and then the bank distributes it to the different accounts, because they already have a spreadsheet that shows who gets what. Somebody's got 10%, you say, or 30%, whatever they've got. They get their money, it goes back into their IRA or their regular account. Most of these are IRAs, so most of this money goes back in to their IRA accounts.
Okay. And so a lot of times what people will do, and this is really the whole concept of it, this is not the type of investment where you come in, you invest for, you know, 24 or 30 months or whatever it happens to be, and then you get your payout and you retire. This is a plan. This is part of an investment plan that people can grow their wealth over several years. It's not a one-and-done type of thing.
No, and I've never had anybody just did one deal and stopped. Because if it's an IRA, you don't want to take it out and spend it because you're going to have to pay taxes on it and penalties if you're under 59 and a half. So most people, they're in there for the long haul. They're in there, you know, to make money, to grow the investment where they can retire.
So when we look at the long-term averages, and we talk about some going over, some coming in early, and that's how the whole plan works. I mean, that's by design, is so over, you know, 5, 10, 15, 20 years, whatever each person, you know, however long they're with the program, you know, it all averages out in the end. And correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems like a majority of the policies tend to come in early. Now, that's just, it's just my opinion. It's just kind of what it seems like.
Well, and I could go back and look it up to be exact, but this year we've had more come in early than came in on time.
Yeah.
Okay. And then we had those two that were overdue. One was a year overdue and one was 2 years overdue. Those came in this year. So we're watching all that to see, you know, which ones have gone long, which ones came in on time, and which ones were early. The majority of them were early, and that really helps your percentage because you can reinvest it a little quicker.
Yeah, yeah, and that's really the golden part of this. And the other aspect of investing early is, the other benefit, is that when it does come in early, say you've got a 24-month policy, say it comes in 18, you still get the 24%. You just get it early. It's not like if it comes in early, you lose some of your profit. No. You still get the entire amount.
It doesn't matter when it comes in. You're going to get what was promised. You're going to get whatever's in your contract. If it says 24%, you're going to get it. And the average returns is 22 to 24%. That's what the average is.
It's a brilliant program. It's a very simple concept. You know, people start looking. It's like, okay, well, this is wonderful, but there's got to be some kind of a downside. And in just a few minutes, we'll get into the three risks. That's on the way here pretty soon. But in the meantime, this is Your Money with Faye Bagby, and your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage.
And we should point out real quick that is your office number. If somebody wants to go ahead and, you know, call and make an appointment to come see you, that would be the number to call. I know it's a Saturday and people aren't there today, but that's okay. If you get the machine, leave a message and you will call them back. You'll schedule that. So that's the number that actually is. So every Saturday morning around this time, we get into trivia, and you always bring interesting things to do, places to go, someplace to put on your bucket list. So what's the topic this morning?
This morning is a person. It is a national hero that I want to talk about. Sam Johnson is an American hero. He was in the Vietnam War. He was in the Korean War. He's one of the great, really great, as I would say, people from Texas. He's a local Texan. He has went through more stuff than anybody in the whole wide world. He's one of my favorite people. He's leaving Congress this year. He's just a wonderful person, and he's a decorated war hero, native Texan. He graduated from Woodrow Wilson in Dallas. He got a bachelor's degree from SMU, and then he got a master's degree from George Washington University. As I said, he's a decorated war hero. He's one of the few members of Congress to have fought in combat. He spent 29 years in the U.S. Air Force. He serves as director of the Air Force Fighter Weapons School. This is the Top Gun school.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah, Top Gun. He was one of the authors of two tactical manuals that revolutionized military air guidance.
Ooh.
And that manual is still in. He flew combat missions in Korea, the Vietnam War. During the Korean War, he flew 62 combat missions.
Wow.
He had an F-86. He was stationed 25 miles from the front. His plane was called Shirley's Texas Tornado, named after his wife, Shirley.
Oh.
Yeah, he scored one MiG fighter kill, one probable, one damaged. He was also in Vietnam, and this is where things really began to happen. During his first tour of duty, he worked at the Military Assistance Command in Vietnam, there in Saigon, and he helped coordinate the first B-52 strikes under General Westmoreland. Then he went for a second tour, and he flew F-4 Phantoms with the 8th Tactical Fighter Wing in Thailand. It was during his 25th combat mission that he was shot down.
Ooh.
He was in the Hanoi Hilton for 7 years as a prisoner of war.
7 years?
7 years. 42 months in solitary confinement.
Wow.
They labeled him a diehard. He spent 72 days in leg stocks, 2.5 years in leg irons. He had severe starvation and torture. And so he is a great patriot. And he was in there with Jeremiah Denton and Jim Stockdale, and he wrote a book called Alcatraz Gang. And they were hard, hard people. You couldn't get these Texans and these other people down. And when he came out, he was given the Silver Star, the Legend of Merit, the Distinguished Flying Cross, the Bronze Star, the Military Service Medal, the Air Medal, the Air Force Commander's Medal, Air Medals, the Purple Heart, Arms Expert Marksmanship Ribbon, Combat Readiness Medal, Korea Service Medal, Air Force Longevity Medal, National Defense Service Medal, Korean Presidential Unit Medal, United Nations Service Medal.
Oh, my.
Oh, yes, everything he has. He had a distinguished, as you can imagine, military career.
It sounds like he's gotten every medal that he could possibly have gotten and then some.
That's right. He's one of the most distinguished congressmen up there. You know, he was honored recently. They've named a room after him. They've decorated it. He's just, you know, one of the greatest people up there. He's rock solid. He's one of the four founding members of the Conservative Action team known as today. And the things he accomplished, he removed the penalties for American seniors who wanted to work by passing a law in 2000 that eliminated the retirement earnings test. And then he repealed the Wright Amendment, if you remember, to allow Dallas Love Field people to fly direct flights. As you know, you couldn't all those years under the Wright Amendment. And then he has secured approval for two new local veterans health clinics in Plano, Texas, as well as a specialty clinic that will be located in Plano. He's been for the veterans all of his life. That's the big deal. Another thing that happened during his service, they wanted to do these nuclear tests. And they had him fly his airplane through these nuclear tests.
Whoa!
I mean, there isn't anything he hadn't done for his country, you know? And it's just amazing the things that he has done.
Wow.
And he's fixing to retire. He's one of the most recognized and most admired Republicans member of the U.S. House of Representatives.
You know, he sounds like said, not only is he a patriot and a hero, but he also sounds like he's got the character of someone from the greatest generation. I mean, you don't find people with this kind of character every day.
He also flew with the Thunderbirds. It's just not anything he hadn't done.
Wow.
You know, he was a Top Gun, military. He flew with the Thunderbirds. They had him fly through all that bad stuff when they wanted to test it. And you know what he says? Well, they asked me to, and I just did it. he is being recognized, you know, for his service, and they're doing a lot of stories about him now, which really tells the character of this man.
Wow.
And again, he's a proud Texan and a tremendous hero. I mean, I just can't imagine all the things he did, and he's still smiling, and everybody just calls him Sam.
Wow. Somebody's got to make movies about this guy.
I hope they do, because it would be a tremendous thing, especially his military service, being captured, being in solitary for 42 months. Could you and I do that?
No way. Not a chance.
I mean, we would be, they'd just have to bury us because we'd go crazy.
Yeah.
And he said they had a little Morse code between him and the other two guys, and that's how they communicated and kept their sanity, by the way.
Really?
Yes. And, of course, the Vietnamese had no idea what they were doing and couldn't have read it if they'd wanted to. And they would tap out their code between each other to talk during that time, a terrible time. But if I had been in solitary confinement in leg irons for 42 months, I would not have done well.
No. I couldn't make it through 4 days. There's just no
That's
way.
Me. Probably 2 days.
yeah, probably you know, true.
But he received every medal of honor that we have in our country.
Wow, that's amazing. It's like you started going through the list, and I'm like, oh, okay, that's cool. That's neat. All right, that's cool. That also is neat. And then the list kept going. I'm like, my God, it just keep going.
That's
and
right.
Going and
he
going.
Has every medal known to man.
And he's still alive, and that's part of the thing that's so wonderful. You know, it would be really great if you know there could be some kind of a tribute, whether it's a movie or I don't know, something while he's still with us, because so many times we wait until you know after they're gone, and then you know it's a little too late at that point. It would be really great if we could do something while he's still with us.
That's right. And, you know, it's funny, when he ran this last time, the young guys tried to take him out and say, oh, he's too old, he is so famous and so popular, the young guy did not win, by the way.
Of course not.
He couldn't take out Sam Johnson. And, you know, we have went to hear him speak at one of his rallies, you know, and I was so impressed. And that was when I met him. And, you know, my son, as you know, is a Mason. And the Masons were there to perform for him.
Wow.
And I was so impressed.
Yes. How cool.
Yeah, he's a very cool man. He has 10 grandchildren.
Really?
Yes. 3 children, 10 grandchildren. His wife, Shirley, he was so much in love with, died in 2015.
Oh, no.
But can you imagine, Shirley's Texas Tornado was on the side of his plane.
That is so cool. That is, I mean, just sounds like the guy's got so much character and such a really, that is truly a role model like we don't see every day.
And he's so popular up there because he's so genuine and they know he can be trusted. That's the amazing thing to me.
Wow. Wow.
Yes.
Such a great guy. Sam Johnson.
Sam Johnson, a true Texas hero.
Wow. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage.
So we're talking about growing your money through life settlements, investing in a life insurance policy. And we had talked a little while ago about how, you know, all these benefits of this type of investment are far superior to most anything else you can possibly do. But we also mentioned that there are a couple of risks, and there are 3 major ones.
There are 3 major risks. Your first risk is it can go over. And so when you buy a policy, you've got to say, I can stand the risk. I can stand it going over. If you can't, you shouldn't do it. So if a policy goes over, you're going to have to wait for your money. It's not that you're not going to get your money. You just have to wait till it matures. So if it goes over, they're not all going to go over, hopefully, but you'll have some that will go over, and that means that you won't get your money for maybe a year longer or 2 years longer, whatever it is. Then the second risk is the money is not liquid during the time it's invested. So you know that you have to wait till it matures to get your money and to reinvest it. The third risk is if a life insurance company in America ever went broke, you would have to depend on the Texas Guarantee Fund. We have never had a life insurance company go broke in Texas, and they're all worth billions of dollars. They're worth more than the banks. So, you know, I've never worried about the life insurance companies. I feel like they're safe and secure because they're so huge.
And they're almost so huge that if they were to, if a company was to go under, somebody else would come in.
Would buy it instantly because they're so valuable. They have all that huge premium income, which is worth $1 trillion.
Yeah.
And if you've got all that income, everybody would want what you have. They'd want to buy it and take over that premium income.
Yeah, it's huge, and so really, it's almost like the risks are there. They're so small. You don't even have to worry about them. We have to mention them because you know, obviously, you're very transparent about everything that you do. People need to be aware of these things, but it's not anything that'll keep you up at night. It's nowhere near being up wondering. You know, gosh, you know, I'm invested in Wall Street. You know, I'm going to get up tonight at in the middle of the night, and I'm going to see if I still have anything left. It's nowhere near that.
No, you don't have to get up at midnight and check it, because I know people in the stock market, they have to get up at midnight. They're so worried right now.
Yeah.
To check to see what their portfolio is. How far is it down?
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like the Texans' portfolios have never been up to what they are on Wall Street. Now, I don't understand that. I guess it's whoever is making their investments, but I know lots of times we'll go back and look and see what they've made. It's never as much. And so, you know, I am worried for them if they still have money in the stock market, because I don't want anybody to lose a dime anywhere.
Yeah, yeah. So basically, I guess it'd be safe to say that when investing in a life settlement, you almost set it and forget it. You just wait for it to mature.
That's exactly right, because we will notify you. When I get a call or an email that says a policy is matured, within 30 minutes, we are emailing the clients, telling them it has matured, that they have money coming. And then we tell them it's 6 to 8 weeks, you know, to get the money into their account. And we have money that will be coming this week into their accounts. Remember, we've got all this $8 million that will be hitting people's accounts.
That's amazing.
$8 million.
That's a lot of money, and the turnaround for receiving payment in the account, it's really, really fast.
It is. So all these policies that matured, it's a lot of money.
So when you have a first-time investor come in and they do their first policy and they see how this works, they see, one, that getting involved is pretty easy. One, or two, waiting for the policy to mature is also easy because their anxiety is gone. They don't have to be up all night wondering and worrying and anxious. They're just basically set it and forget it. And so when it pays out for the first time, what kind of reactions do you get from people?
They're always very glad. I know people have gotten very excited. I know a gentleman, a doctor that's with us, he made $54,000 back in the summer. And he called me personally to thank me about it. He said he was so excited, you know. $54,000 profit on a policy is a lot of money, folks.
That's huge.
Yes. And out of all these policies, there's $8 million. One of these policies, everybody had a lot of money in. So one of them is, you know, people had like a couple hundred thousand in it.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll be getting a lot of money out of this.
So people, I would assume they're glad and they're sad. They're glad that they actually went ahead and made the move and did this type of thing. They're sad that they didn't start sooner.
I'll bet that's true. Yes, and I've had people tell me that. I wish we'd put our money with you earlier. But it all works out. You know, they're going to make the money. They're going to get paid. They're going to get their interest. They can do it over and over again. And if they go long, after that first go long deal, they may all come in early next time.
Mm-hmm.
You never know. So, and the premiums of most of them are very small. The only ones that are going to be large is those very old policies that we're still talking about. I'll be glad when I don't have to say on a Saturday morning, those people are still with us. Oh, my gosh, we don't want them to still be with us. You know, I mean, I just can't imagine anybody would sell us policies and tell us they're going to be real quick and it didn't happen that way.
Well, people tried to play games. They were dishonest. You caught on to their thing, and so you've taken steps to correct that. So, you know,
we have taken steps. That will never happen again.
Yeah. So what, when you have a new investor, what are some of the initial questions that people ask? Because I'm sure people are listening for the first time, and they're saying, gosh, this sounds really, really great. I've got some questions, but I bet they're stupid. But they're not, because a lot of people have the same types of questions. So what are some of the popular questions of first-time people?
Well, remember, there's no stupid questions. You know, anything you want to ask is not stupid. It's something you're concerned about. It's something you're wondering about, and I ought to be able to answer it, okay? First of all, they may want to know how long the policy is going to be. You know, is it going to be 18 months, 24, 30? A lot of different people have different ideas. I had a couple back in the summer, and when they invested, you know, they had different ideas how they wanted it done. The wife put her money separately because she had separate money. So each one did it a different deal. And the funny thing is the wife is in these policies that just matured. She'd only had it for 2 months, by the way.
Oh, wow.
So I know this is going to turn her around, you know. She's going to think differently than she did before,
yeah.
You know. So I think that'll be interesting to see how that plays out. The other question they ask is, how do I know how sick they are? Well, they've got to rely on the doctors. You know, we send them the information, and we tell them, this person has, let's say they've got colon cancer. They were able to operate on it, but they couldn't get it all. It has spread. It's metastasized. And we tell them all this to better inform them. So this helps them a lot because they all want to know how sick the person is, what kind of cancer it is, whether they understand it or not. They want to know. So these are all their concerns. How sick that person really is, you know, how many months it is, things like that.
And you go over each policy before people go in. And this is the beauty part. This is what we're talking about, how this is such a well-informed investment, is because you have tools like page 14. So people can see the types of cancer, they can see the types of treatment, they can see whether they're in remission. But another thing that we like to focus on that I think is one of those things that really sets you apart is you also look at the things that the policyholder hasn't done.
Yes. And the other thing we do is we look and see what those premiums are, and we verify it with the life insurance company. Because the people selling it, you know, sometimes they'll say, okay, here is what the premium is. Well, when we verify it with the life insurance company, they may be wrong. So, you know, we don't want to get caught ever again with large life insurance premiums. So we verify with the carrier what is exactly the premium. And so we check it and recheck that for that we won't ever have a big premium. We don't want a premium over 3.5%.
Okay. All right, so people will know that, hey, if this does go over, here's how much the premium will be. They also know that, you know, this policyholder here maybe didn't start treatments right away. Maybe they went off to the Netherlands and tried this secret, you know, spring water diet to try to look for something that might be that miracle cure. And so what that's done is that's progressed the cancer even more. And so you look at all these things, so people know everything there is about the policyholder going in and the policy itself.
That's right, and we want them to remind them, if they go to page 14, it'll tell you everything you need to know. It'll tell you who the person is that's insured, what kind of cancer they've got, what life insurance company holds the paper, and you know it has to be A and double A. Cannot be a B-rated or C-rated company. We don't do that. And then it tells you how much the face amount of the policy, how much you've put in, what your percentage of profit is. It tells you if it goes over, this is what it will cost you. So we've told them everything they need to know. We don't want them to get out there in left field and say, well, I don't know any of the facts. They have to know everything. It has to be in writing. We put everything in writing when we do this.
And I know a lot of the veteran investors, when you basically, and correct me if I'm wrong, but basically when you tell them, hey, I've got this policy, we think you should be in it, the veterans know how this works, and a lot of them just go, yeah, okay, put me in. But for those that don't, they don't, especially the young investors, they may say, you know, I don't want to say because I said so and do this, because we're talking about a lot of the money. They look at the report, you go over all of this with them, and so they know exactly the type of cancer. So when you get these types of policies, yes, if it's on your desk, if it's available for people to invest in, they can, and it's a good policy. But when you get them initially, is there any kind of red flag or anything that you see that goes, that makes you say, oh my gosh, this is a really spectacular policy. I've got to get this policy.
Yes, lots of times when I'm going over it and I'm reading it, I'm going, okay, this person has had this cancer for over a year. Here's what the treatment is. And they said, we cannot operate on it because of the location. Well, I know right then that's what I want, because if you can't operate on it and it's already spread, it will keep spreading rather quickly. So, you know, I tell myself that's the one I want to bid really hard, and I do.
So it looks like, as we step back and look at the big picture, it looks like there are a number of not only checks and balances in place, but there are also a number of, I guess for lack of a better term, safety features. There are a number of reassurances. There's a number of layers of information. And so that's why we say, when we step back, we look at the large picture of this, it's a more conservative type of investment, because the value doesn't go down. It's well informed. You have a number of life expectancies, so you have a number of doctors' opinions you can go off of. Plus, we have your trained eye to go over this. So it's a wonderful investment opportunity on so many levels. So what type of investor would this really be a great, ideal type of investment for?
Well, in my opinion, it's always someone that, you know, is 45 years up, you know, that needs to do this, that needs to have the safety. And, of course, most people, when they come in, they say, you know, I want out of the stock market. I'm getting ready to retire. Or I'm only 5 years to retirement, and we cannot afford to lose our money. And so that, you know, usually that's the type of person it is. They have a 401k or they have an IRA, and they want to make sure that it's not going anywhere.
So for somebody who's interested, they should know that they do need to be accredited to do a life settlement. And that means?
They have to either be worth $1 million without their house. That can be rent houses. It can be ranches. It can be cattle. You know, it can be a number of things. It can be, and they also need to add in their 401k or their IRAs. Old 401ks, you can add that in. And then you add everything up, make sure you're worth $1 million. If not, then you have to make $200,000 a year. And if you make $200,000 a year, you don't have to be worth $1 million. So it's either or, but they have to have one or the other in order to invest with us. And then our minimum requirement is $100,000.
And for somebody who doesn't qualify for that that life settlement, there are other options to get to that point. There are other ways to still grow your wealth and still, you know, be able to retire. And you have things like...
they can do annuities.
Annuities.
You know, annuities have been around 150 years. They're safe. Some annuities are better than others. You know, I'll put it that way. Some annuities have lots and lots of restrictions. Some don't. The ones that I prefer are the ones that you can walk away at the end of the term and take your money out. That's the ones I prefer. Some of them you have to go ahead and take monthly interest payments, and you can't do it any other way with some carriers. But the carriers that say at the end of this term, whether it's 7 years, 10 years, or five, it's a walk away. That's what I do. I will do a walk away. I'm not going to do one that says you absolutely have to take minimum payments.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So there's a number of options. The point is you have to get started. And the best way to get started, Faye, one last time, what is your phone number for people to come make an appointment to come talk
to you?
Okay,
it's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And you need to know where we're at. 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage.
Thanks, Faye. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
You've been listening to Your Money with Faye Bagby, sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Faye Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold.
This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.